Well, good morning, everyone. Those who are listening online and the remnant here helping us record the service today. Hopefully the recording will be good. If you're hearing it now, it worked out. Going forward, the messages and services will be online, recorded and posted later on Sunday. So a whole new day, new technology, but God's peace and healing and comfort to you and yours in these days. And also, we'll keep you informed about any changes going on. And Wednesday night Lenten soup and bread obviously has been canceled. There will be a tape of the message online on our website on Wednesday afternoon. So I will have a message for you there. If you're in need, you can call the church. We can help. Many drivers have made themselves available to go around, take you to a doctor's appointment, drop off groceries. So, you know, call someone, call me at the church. And those who are here today, Glenn Halfley has made some cookies and rice pudding, and he bought a bunch of candy and sweets. So, and there is toilet paper downstairs. So for those here this morning, there are items. There's the banquet of blessing as well. But if you need something, and, you know, you can drive by in the church, I'll be around. So give me a call if you need to get into the church, and I'll have it open for you. But we're here to worship. We're here to turn to Almighty God. What a mighty God we serve and worship. So let us continue in our worship.
Like never before, Lord, Let us join together in our call to worship. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now let us continue to worship the Lord in song. Let us pray together. Jehovah Shalom, you are the God of peace. It is in you alone that we find our rest. Your wings hide us and shelter us. You are a mighty shield. And you are faithful to protect all of your children. You will never forsake those who seek you. Let all who put their trust in you rejoice, because you will bless the righteous with favor and surround them as with a shield. In times of trouble, you are our refuge and fortress, our rock and our deliverer, our God, our strength, in whom we will trust. So let us rejoice together as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So I have our page numbers. All right. Readings today are Psalm 23, found in the Pew Bibles on page 435. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Our second reading comes from John chapter 9, the whole chapter, found on page 871 in your Pew Bibles. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him there before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So some said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know is that I was blind. Now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you, and how did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you not also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." The man answered, "Well, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, And are you trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking to you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
John 5:17, Jesus says, "My Father's always working, and to this very day I am also working." Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. You see the Father working around us? In our midst? Even now, yes, but maybe, you know, a month ago, what was happening before this virus hit? Do you see the Father working here all around us? We had Michael Ferris, a Journey to the Potter's House presentation. He came last month. A potter, a teacher, a doctor, and he gave us a visible parable, you know, making a pot, aligning the clay and centering it, forming it on the wheel, shaping vessels. You know, it was about an hour and a half presentation. And it was, you could hear a pin drop. He had some interaction, but you could hear a pin drop. You could visibly see the Father working in hearts and lives as if He was shaping us, forming us, going deep. The Father was working. That meant the Lord Jesus was there, the Son, the Holy Spirit, transforming us. Spiritual eyes being open to the truth. That wasn't it. He came back 9 nights later for a follow-up message, getting past your past. Who doesn't need that? We all need to get past our past. That might be better sound now. But keys to walking in freedom. But God continued His work as He taught us, giving steps towards walking in freedom. Freedom from chronic anger was one of the big things. He gave us two things: an unforgiveness, being set free from that bitterness and hurt, steps to do that. I tell you, that's a message that we had been hearing, and when He came, He told it again, and we'll continue to need that message. God is working to set us free. That we will not hold grudges, that we would not hold on to unforgiveness and all that comes with that. God is working in our midst through prayer. He is sovereign. He is alive. His army of angels surround us. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see this. We know by faith, but open our eyes, Lord. Continue to give us peace and rest in You. We will not be anxious or fearful. The Lord is our refuge. There's a lot more examples, and we all could share some. But may God show us each day where He's working, in whose life, where spiritual eyes are being opened, especially in the midst of panic and fear. You know, when God does reveal where He's working, that is His invitation to join Him, to be His vessels of light, of hope, of healing, of new birth, new life in Jesus Christ. You know, that is what we were born to do. A few days ago, I was having a devotional time here at church, and I wrote this in an email to the church family. But I was in Psalm 119. I've been reading a couple sections of that. You know, there's 8 sections of 22 verses. And so I read, prayed through a couple of those, and I was like, there's something more here. So I went to Psalm 91. God has us in Psalm 91. And some of you for a long time, but it's been showing up everywhere. And so I read through that. I prayed through that. It's powerful. Psalm 91, verses 9 through 11. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disease will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. That just was, it leapt off the page at me. And then in my office, the phone rang. And I thought, more spam, more calls, robocalls, or selling this or that. But I thought, nope. So I picked it up, and it was a familiar voice. Someone who calls depressed and who's been ill, in and out of the hospital, a convalescent home. Just somebody in the community that the church has come alongside for many years. And I said, you know what? You called at the right time. I've got a message for you. And I shared those verses. We prayed. And I tell you that even through the phone lines, the peace of God that passes all understanding and a confirmation that God's timing, God is working. Do we feel like we're being equipped and trained for all that's new in our day and age? Are we ready to join God where He's working? Are we being equipped? Are we being trained? I believe we are. We are in the midst of a boot camp like never before. We are being trained on the fly and equipped right now. Right now, even today and every day, with all that's going on. The resources, the new technology. I mean, I am not tech savvy, but I tell you, in a couple weeks, I'm going to be the best technician around. Probably not, but I need some help with that. But there is an urgency. And in the passage today that Pastor Ann read, let's look there if you want to. John 9, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, "We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is still day, for night is coming when nobody will work. And as long as I am in the world, I am in the light of the world." It's daytime. Night is coming, He's saying. His death is coming, but there's an urgency. He has to work. I must work. And for Jesus, that means, in other words, I am under a divine compulsion. I have to do this. It is of the utmost importance. It is my purpose. It is that for which I have come. It is my guiding principle. It is central to who I am and what I have to do. You know, for us in life, there are things that you can do. There are things you would like to do. There are things that you hope to do. There are things that you desire to do. Then there are things you must do. Jesus said, "I must." But really, He said, "We must." It's plural. He said, "We must work the works of God." He understood God's plan for His life, that it was not an option. He was always driven by passion, a desire and an urgency to do what the Father wanted Him to do. He said, "We must work." That's the call for the disciples. It's the call for the church down through the ages. We must work. Not to be saved, but because we love the Lord, because we believe, we must be about doing His work. And Jesus is training and equipping the disciples here on the fly all the time. They're learning. They're being transformed. He holds up the blind man who sees as an example of what one was born to do. To display the works of God. To be healed. To be saved. To be sent off. In verses 1 through 3, Jesus is passing by and He sees a beggar who's born blind. And the disciples, foot and mouth disease. Did he sin or his parents? You know, whose fault is it? All 12 of the disciples were in agreement, nonpartisan unity, a miracle, but they were in agreement. I guess they're police now. They're like detectives, religious police. Piecing together what happened to cause something like this. We're with Jesus. We ask all the right questions. You know, there's a lesson here for us to stop looking for someone to blame. That posture just sucks the life out of every family, every gathering, every church, every circumstance we're in. So I'm going to stop blaming. How about you? But let's go on. Jesus fine-tunes their focus for future encounters. You know, maybe He's saying, "You're asking the wrong question here, disciples." You know, He infers that by saying that, you know, neither His parents nor He Himself sinned. So the better question is, how might the works of God be displayed, made known, manifested through His blindness? You know, even through handicaps or whatever, how might God's works, His glory, be displayed no matter what? If I'm healed or not, the Lord wants to shine through me, through you. Our question maybe, instead of picking sides or spreading fear and panic or judging people openly, I mean, they're talking about the blind man. He's right there. You know, later the neighbors are talking about him. And he said, yes, it's me. It's me. The parents are talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, you know, asking about him. And they say, you know what? He's old enough. You can talk to him yourself. He's, you know, he's right here. But if we, how can God be present and glorified in our encounters and all of our efforts too? In our homes, in our neighborhoods, online. There's so many people online. There's beautiful things taking place. Yes, there's ongoing scams and scheming, but there's a lot of things happening. On Facebook, the phone. As we come alongside of people and opportunities that God brings us to, we need to be prepared. The Lord is doing something new. And I tell you, I don't think, it may not have been something new, but what does Jesus do immediately in verse 6? He spits on the ground. Now, don't go spitting on the ground and sharing that with people. But this is Jesus. You know, later the blind man says, oh, he took clay and put it on my eyes. He didn't say anything about spittle. He was blind. He didn't know. Don't be spitting on people, okay? But this is powerful. He makes the clay and the dirt. He applies it to the man's eyes. The works of God that Jesus came to do, that we are called to, along with Him, along with His church, is to give sight to the blind. You know, spiritual eyes, and even praying for miracles. Also, along with released a captive, setting prisoners free. You know, Jesus is giving sight. What he does, it imitates creation. Spiritually, a new creation. In Genesis, God, you know, breathed life into the, you know, dust that He formed into the form of a human being. And He breathed life into it. God took the hadama, which is earth, and He made hadam, Adam. Jesus is also making the man new. He sends him to the pool of Siloam to wash. Go in obedience. Go and wash. You know, there's a implication of baptism there. Being washed and renewed by the Holy Spirit. A cleansing. You know, our baptism of dying and rising with Christ. He goes in obedience and returns to his community, seeing he's a new man. He's a new creation. I was blind, but now I see. Our question, are we living out the vocation of our own baptism? Our own cleansing and being renewed, no matter when we were baptized. Dying to self daily, being raised with Christ, allowing the Spirit to fill us. And be poured out for others, no matter what. Even in this dark time, knowing who we are in Christ, claiming it. A renewed mind, speaking life and hope and peace into people and helping them to be made new in Christ Jesus. And what is all that for? It's to give people their own testimony. This man who's healed, he has a testimony, and his testimony, it grows and expands as you read through the Scripture. His neighbors are divided over if it's really him. The Pharisees, they interrogate him too. You know, is it a hoax? Maybe you weren't blind, you know? What's really going on here? And who's this guy that you say healed? He's probably just a sinner. He's a Sabbath breaker. All along, we hear the new man giving glory to the works of God. He claims Jesus as the prophet. God had said that a prophet would be sent, and here he is. He's on the scene. His parents give evidence that, yes, their son was born blind. Now he sees. Talk to him yourself. The parents were kind of fearful, though, weren't they? They didn't want to connect Jesus to this healing. That, you know, they could have gotten tossed out like their son eventually does of the synagogue. And the new man, the blind man who now sees, he even boldly asks the Pharisees. You know, who's going to get in the face of the Pharisees? This guy was a beggar and says, oh, do you want to become his disciple too? You know, it's comical. It is. He continues to bear witness. And nothing is going to stop that. Nothing is going to stop that. You know, if there was coronavirus back then, nothing was going to stop the testimony rolling off his tongue, because he is a believer now and he's got a story to tell. And he even says, you know, he's amazed that they don't understand where Jesus come from, just based on the fact that, you know, we've never heard of someone healing someone who was born blind and giving them sight. How can he not be from God? His eyes are opened. Even his spiritual eyes are open. Our question is, have our spiritual eyes been open to see where God is working and the opportunities to join him all around us? Are we hungering and passionate with an urgency to be a part of it? You and I have a testimony. We have a story to share. We are encountering people who need to hear that story, our story. We need to be on the front lines. Well, in fact, folks, we are on the front lines. You all, well, the small group here, those listening, there's only a very small group here. We are under 50. And you've kind of come to the front lines, a place of worship, and to be sent out. We need to be there, the front lines of new birth during this time. It's happening all around. People are coming to faith. And we want to be part of that. Jesus found the man. He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Yeah, show me who he is and I'll believe. I am the one standing before you, the one who's speaking to you." "Oh, yes, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. Jesus said in verse 39, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who do see may become blind." The disciples are being taught and trained, and even the blind man who's now can see, he's being taught and trained. He's being equipped for ministry, for displaying the works of God. He knows now the reason why he was born blind. We too need to stay close to Jesus, to him, to one another, to our mission. That may happen on Zoom or on Facebook, or yes, these small groups Sunday morning. We got to keep doing this. You know, they're telling us to stay apart, and that's good, but we need to record. So we need these times to stay together, to stay close to Jesus, to stay close to the mission, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be close to his word. The Lord will shepherd us. Just as he shepherded the disciples, that early community. He will shepherd us through this dark time. In this boot camp, with him there is no darkness, just opportunities to spread and shine his light. You and I were born for this. Reclaim the Lord as your shepherd today. Be obedient to his invitation, not wanting for anything else but his presence. Take opportunities in this time, for like lying down in green pastures. Oh, the times to grow and to learn to rest once in a while. Yeah, take a nap. There's nothing else going on until he rallies you to do something for him. Be discipled. Worship. Be that servant. Be a steward. Be led by the still waters, his peace. Oh, we need his peace now. Our world needs his peace, resting and abiding in him. Peace is always a byproduct of our relationship with the shepherd and his protection as well. He will restore you and guide you along the right path. We know that God is with us in what appears to be a valley of the shadow of death. It is the valley of the shadow of death. Thou art with us. I came across this story. Charles Spurgeon, great teacher, preacher, 1854. He wrote this. "When I had scarcely been in London 12 months, the neighborhood which I labored was visited by an Asiatic cholera. And my congregation suffered from its inroads. Family after family summoned me to the bedside of the smitten, and almost every day I was called to visit the grave. I gave myself up to that visitation of the sick and was sent from all corners of my district by persons of all ranks and religions. He confesses, I became weary in body and sick at heart. My friends seemed to be falling one by one. And I felt or fancied that I was sickening those around me. Sounds like our day and age. A little more work and weeping would have laid me low among the rest. I felt that my burden was heavier than I could bear. And I was ready to sink. As God would have it, though, I was returning mournfully from a funeral when my curiosity got the best of me and I saw a paper in a shoemaker's window on the Dover Road. It did not look like a trade announcement. It bore in a good bold handwriting these words. It's Psalm 91, 9 and 10. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He wrote this. The effect upon my heart was immediate. Faith appropriated the passage as her own. I felt secure, refreshed, girt with immortality. I went on with my visitation of the dying in a calm and peaceful spirit. I felt no fear of evil, and I suffered no harm. I don't know why the tradesman put that in his window, but I am grateful, and I adore the Lord my God. The Lord comforts us. He prepares us. He prepares a table before us, even in the threat of this virus. He prepares a table before us. He anoints us with power to heal, to break chains, strongholds, in Jesus' name. Our cup will continually overflow in ministering to others. We can carry our candles into the darkness and not be afraid. What has God placed in your hands, in your power, in your control for Him? How can you use it to display His glory? Goodness and mercy will be with us all of our days, and we will dwell in the Lord's presence forever. Amen. Let us sing together.
Who brings a fire?
Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Oh, Abba, Father, we pray. We come before you, gather together as one. Your church is one. Jesus is the head of his church, the body of Christ, all over the world. We pray for the body of Christ all over the world. We pray for the mission. We pray, Lord, for the church. We pray where there's darkness, your light would shine. Where there's fear and panic, your peace would come. Stem the tide, O God. Have mercy upon us. We do pray for the missionaries, Lord. We know of some in our church and probably extended family, and we lift these names to you silently and aloud. For Lisa Ting and family in China, for Mike Anacoli, he's up north in Sweden, the Zeigelbauers in Congo, Kids Alive Guatemala. We know Jay and Kathy are close by, but be with the mission and the ministry there. We pray for peace and hope and love and healing. We pray for protection, O Lord, over each and every one. Our country, O God, we pray for the governing authorities. Those within the medical field, the staff, the nurses, the doctors, those on the front lines in the hospitals, the convalescent homes, all of our EMTs, National Guard, police, and fire. O Lord, you are our refuge. We dwell in the shelter of the Most High, the shadow of your wings. We pray for all who are in need of healing today, Lord. Those we know and those we don't know. We know of a few. We pray for Robert Morton. We pray for Gina Whaley's mother, Elaine, and stepfather, Jim. Be with them. Be with Gina as she takes care of them. Be with those who are on the front lines with family and taking care of loved ones, or those who are separated from loved ones because places are shut down, convalescent homes shut down. We pray you'd heal our land, O Lord. We know your word says that takes a lot of repentance, a lot of confession of sin, and we're ready. We're eager to join in that each and every day. And we pray for our country. We pray for our world. We pray for this land, Lord, that would come to a time of repentance, of calling on your name, crying out to you. Have mercy on us, O God. We cry out to you for help in Jesus' name. And your promise is to heal, is to hear and forgive, and to heal our land. Almighty God, our times are in your hands. Our times are in your hands, and there's no better place to be. Our goings are of the Lord. Order our steps in your holy word. Lord Jesus, you are enough. Lord Jesus, you are enough. And we hold on to you. And Lord, that special request on every heart and each one, we just lay those burdens at your feet, Lord. Would you take charge of those things? The panic, the fear, we want to release those to you. We just release those to you, Lord. There are things we cannot change. There's things we can change. But any stresses, we just release them to you. And Lord, you have something for us. Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill us with the fruit of the Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with all that you are, Almighty God. We receive what you have for us. And thank you that you are enough. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Amen. We come to an offering time. Those of you online listening, you have a great opportunity. We thank you for the gifts that are coming in, those who are giving online. And you can mail in stuff in your offerings. If we need to call out the Pony Express, I don't know if we'd do that, but people can help us offer what we need. But we give our stewardship, our tithes, and our offerings to Almighty God, and may He bless them. And so let us bring our gifts when we can in the days ahead. And be generous, for God is generous. Almighty God, we love you, we worship you. You've given us so much. And yes, times are tight and things are hard, but Lord, we want to be generous to you. We have resources to offer in all kinds of ways, Lord, so we offer them. We're committed to you, to your mission, to your work. So we love you. We give these gifts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One final hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Glenn, if you want to play the drums, you can. Blessing today.